Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. When Paul and Silas were in a maximum security prison for preaching the gospel, they were unable to sleep after being brutally beaten. No doubt they were bruised, bloody, and in chains. Nevertheless, they began to sing praises unto God in the middle of the night. As Christians, we must remember that prayer and praise are our two most powerful weapons in times of darkness. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 16 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 25 through 40.
You recall how Paul was seeking God's will and direction? And there were a number of doors that were closed, and then he heard the voice of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over to us and help us." And Paul went, he was obedient, and he didn't meet a man, he meets a group of women that are praying. And as a result of that prayer meeting, it's believed that a church was formed in Philippi. And so now, here is Paul, and Timothy, and Silas, and Dr. Luke, and they are ministering in the will of God, and they encounter demonic opposition. And this is an open door. And many times when God opens a door for you, there will be opposition, sometimes demonic opposition. As I mentioned last week, when Lucifer fell from heaven, one-third of the angels fell with him. What do you think those one-third of the angels are doing? I can tell you that they're not playing golf. They are going about to seek, to steal, to kill, to destroy, to oppose the work of God. And so as we journey on in Acts, these men get arrested. Paul and Silas are arrested, and they are confined to a what we would call like a maximum security prison. They're beaten unlawfully. They're put into prison. So what do you do, beloved, when you find yourself in the will of God and in prison? What do you and I do? Well, I have a suggestion. Well, actually, the Holy Spirit has a suggestion. Look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, when was the last time you woke up at midnight and started praising God? Now, I don't say that to in a way to condemn you, but just to make a point. Even to wake up at midnight under normal circumstances, well, some of you don't go to bed at midnight. What I'm saying, for some people, getting up at midnight in and of itself and singing praises is a noble thing. These men have been beaten. These men have been bloodied. These men know that they're in the will of God, and at midnight they pray and they're singing praises, and the other prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas were not praying and singing praises in prison because they felt really good. They weren't praying and singing praises in prison in order to get God to do something. Paul didn't turn to Silas and Silas to Paul and say, "Hey, listen, I got an idea. Why don't we just pray and sing praises? And if we do this, God will get this out of this prison." No. You know why we praise God? We praise God for what? For who He is. We pray to Him for who He is. Whether we feel like it or not, whether we understand what is going on or not. And how many of you know that there are all kinds of prisons that you and I can find ourselves in this morning? There can be financial prisons, relational prisons, emotional prisons, prisons of doubt, prisons of perhaps being unequally yoked, prisons of addiction. There's all kinds of prisons. And here are Paul and Silas in the will of God and in prison, and they're praying and singing praises to God. I believe because they understood the truth of the gospel. They saw the big picture. They had been commissioned by the Holy Ghost to go out and to preach the gospel. And now they're encountering opposition. They're not praying and praising to get out of prison. They're praying and praising while they're in prison. Big difference. They're submitting themselves to the will of God, to the purpose of God. And if it would be His will to deliver them, fine. If not, they're fine too. When you read the epistles, never did Paul ever claim to be, when he was in prison, and Paul had a prison ministry. In fact, he was in prison so often that I'm convinced that whenever he was in a prison in Philippi or something, they would see the guards would see him coming and goes, here he is, Paul the Apostle, cellmate number 888, he's here again. But Paul never said, I'm a prisoner of the Roman government. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Every one of us here today is a prisoner to something or to someone. And whoever you and I are a prisoner to is going to impact how you respond to when things are going wrong or when it is midnight. Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, said, the legs feel nothing in the stocks when the heart is in heaven. In Psalm 42, verse 8, we read, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. God commanding His loving kindness towards you and I. And in the night, His song shall be with me, and prayer unto the God of my life. Who is the God of your life this morning? Everyone has a God. Who is your God? Who is it that has your heart? Who is it that you set your affections on? Who is it? Here, Paul and Silas are in prison. And when the living God is your God, and you and I are aware of His sovereign work in our lives, we do have reason to sing, even in the midst of prisons. For the child of God, it's been said that even at the midnight hours of our life, there is enough light, life, and truth in the gospel to cause us to worship and praise Him. In Psalm 119, verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Could it be Paul and Silas were thinking of that verse? Maybe, possibly. We know that they were men of the Word of God. I mean, it's a nice thought that if Paul, he wouldn't have had a Bible like we have it. He said, hey, it says at midnight, we can't sleep. We're kind of hurting. Why don't we wake up and begin to praise and worship our God? So they did. And they weren't quiet about it. They didn't say, hey, listen, the guy next door is, the cell next door, he's... The prisoners heard them. They were listening to Paul and Silas praying and singing. And the idea is that in how they were praying and how they were singing, it was getting their attention as well. Doesn't indicate that they were annoyed. There was something about these men. What do you think it could have been? Maybe they're thinking, are these the same guys that got arrested, that got beaten, and here they are in prison, and they're praying and thanking and praising their God? That's not normal. That's supernatural. That's what people think when you and I are in our prisons and we pray and we worship. It blows them away. They can't handle it. John Stott said, instead of cursing men, they heard them praise God. You know, the lost around us, beloved, take note of the fact that because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they notice when we are praying and singing during the darkest times of our life. It's been said, all of us can pray when the sun is shining, but what do you do at midnight? And here they are, it's midnight. Two of the most powerful weapons in the midst of life's prisons, whatever that may be, those midnight hours, those times of spiritual warfare, two of the most powerful weapons are prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he exhorted them in chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, or making melody to God with His grace in your hearts. And so this morning we sang praises, worship to our God. And to some extent, it's practice for us, not that praising God is practice, but it equips us for when the midnight hour hits, when the storms hit, teaching one another psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and praising God for who He is, for His glory. So here they are. Get the scene. Picture yourself there. Paul and Silas, bloodied, beaten, hands and feet in the stocks. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. So the shackles of everyone in the prison were loosed. Amazing. Now, there were earthquakes in that area that were pretty common, but this was a supernatural earthquake. This was a God-designed earthquake, because we know in reading ahead that there is going to be a Roman soldier and his household who are lost and who are looking for an answer to what life is all about. And so God has designed this whole scenario. Isn't it incredible? The closed doors, the open doors, all of the things that are going, He's designed it to some extent because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so He gets Paul and Silas in this prison, and there's this Philippian jailer and his household. And who knows? There's no record in this chapter how the other inmates were impacted. I would not be surprised if when we get to heaven, if there's such a thing as someone tapping you on the shoulder, go, "Hey, Pastor Ray, oh, hi. Well, maybe I won't have to ask him who he is up there. You were teaching about me on Sunday, October 29th, 2023. Yeah, really? Yeah. I was one of those prisoners. And I was hearing Paul and Silas pray. And I gave my life to the Lord. He gripped my heart." You never know. You never know how other people are impacted when you are singing and praying and praising Him in your prison. Remember when Jesus picked up the scroll in Luke chapter 4, the scroll of Isaiah, and He declared on that August morning, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And those who heard Him that day knew that He was quoting the messianic passage of Scripture. He's saying, "I'm the Messiah. This is why I came, and this is why I'm here." And we should never read the works of Christ on earth in the past tense as though He used to do those things. But since He ascended up to heaven, well, I'm so glad that the Lord, through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, still saves the meek. I'm so glad that He still binds up the wounds of a broken heart. I'm so glad that He still proclaims liberty to the captives, and He still opens the prison doors for those who are bound. He's done that. He's done that to so many of us here today. That's why we're here, because of the miracle working power of God. There's a special presence of the Lord Jesus when we respond to the prisons in life by lifting up our voices in prayer, by singing and declaring the truth and the power of the gospel. There's something special about when an individual or a family or a church family is going through dark times, and instead of reacting to the dark times, oh, there's tears, there's emotion, there's all of that stuff, you can't avoid it, but say, you know, we need to pray. We need to get our eyes on the Lord. We need to start singing. It changes the atmosphere. Sometimes when I'm watching the sports channel, pray for me, I do think I have a moderate affection to Major League Baseball, so pray for me. But there's these commercials, and if you're tired, you can have this 5-minute energy drink. You know what I'm talking about. I've never had it. I've been told I'm too hyper without it. That'd be nice. And so they say that if you drink this energy drink, then you'll be energized. Well, I'll tell you what. You got to pay for that. There's a price that has been paid for you and I to pray and praise. And you will be far more energized, and so will I, when you and I, when us, determine in the prisons of life, we're going to pray and praise our God. We're just going to worship you, Lord, for who you are. And you know, when the devils hear that, they get Excedrin headache 666. They do. Now, they're not going to go away. Demons don't die. Devils don't die. They just seek someone to harass or to inhabit. But praying and praising God. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God that our Redeemer lives. Thank God that he's here today in our midst. And for those of you watching online, he's here. He is right here, right now. And every one of us, to some degree, may have a prison that we're praying through. Maybe a personal prison. Maybe a family prison. Maybe an occupational prison. It may be a ministry prison. There's all kinds of prisons. Everybody here today more than likely has some kind of a prison, something that is gripping them, something that is holding them down. Now, you can become so prison-focused, and you can do research on that prison. Maybe there's some value in that, but I would recommend that you don't take that too far. You stop, and right now, Lord, I just thank you that you are here with me in this prison. And I praise you for who you are. It changes the attitude. It changes the perspective. It gives us a heavenly perspective. So the keeper of the prison, now he was responsible for the prisoners. And whatever was the charge of the prisoner, if prisoners ever ended up breaking out of jail, then depending on what the charge was, the jailer would be punished that way. Well, these guys were in maximum security. And so he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. So he's thinking, oh no. He wakes up, sleeping on the job. Did you ever sleep on the job? Don't raise your hand. Especially if you work for one of the contractors, one of the people who are your bosses who worship here. Don't raise your hand. He's sleeping. What happened? And amazingly, all the prisoners are there. Now, like the Philippian jailer, sometimes God allows earthquake-like conditions to shake us up. Did you ever have an earthquake-like condition that shakes you up or wakes you up or gets your attention? Maybe you're, you know, just kind of like coasting through life and you're having mick devotions and everything is kind of like, oh, que sera, sera, what? And you're taking things for granted and then boom! And it's like the Lord says, Raymond. And he draws attention. See, because some prisons are self-inflicted. Some prisons are prisons that we're in because of other people's sins. But be that as it may, our times are in his hand. God knew before the foundation of the world what prison you and I would be in today. And he allows it. And sometimes he allows these earthquake-like conditions to wake us up, to remind us that we need a change. Whatever prison you are facing this morning, beloved, get your eyes on the Lord Jesus. That is in no way, shape, or form minimizing that prison that you're in. Please don't misunderstand me. But we need to get our eyes on the Lord, and we need to continue to seek his face and praise him. Amazingly, instead of running out of the prison to avoid any further harm, Paul assures the jailer that all of the prisoners could be accounted for, which is a miracle in and of itself. Now, this is another interesting thought. It is possible that the very same jailer or keeper of the prison, it's very possible that he would have been the same guard who beat Paul and Silas earlier. So let's just think out loud. If that was the case, what do you do when the people that beat you and harm you are in danger? What do you do? Do you look for the nuke button? Do you begin praying the imprecatory Psalms? Notice, Paul cries, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Don't harm yourself." There's no bitterness in Paul's heart. Now, whether or not this jailer did it, somebody did, either him or a colleague. And he's not reacting to the situation. Paul understands, God, you not only did this for me, you not only did this miracle for me, you've done it for them. And so the jailer calls for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do, or what is necessary for me to do to be saved?" Well, he comes in trembling before Paul and Silas. He's obviously moved by this powerful demonstration of God, and he connects the dots. This has happened because of the God that these men who pray and worship. Many times they won't tell you. Your unsaved family members won't tell you, but they connect the dots. But isn't it interesting how they may not claim to believe what you and I believe, but when the dung hits the fan, isn't it amazing how they'll call you guys and just absolutely love it? Because it does happen to all of us. Have you ever prayed for trials? Ever pray for earthquakes? Ever pray for difficulties? No, they just seem to happen. Now, you guys don't pray that for me, do you? Because if you do, it's working. Stop! But you can't. They're unavoidable. They're just part of life. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You cannot pray anti-tribulation prayers. And he said, if you choose to live godly for me, you're going to suffer a persecution. So you can't pray anti-opposition prayers. It's amazing. My friends in India and my friends in Peru, whenever we have visited them and they're going through a time of persecution, they never ask us to pray that the persecution or the opposition would stop. They ask us to pray that they would have the grace and the strength and the courage to be faithful in it. Because it's inevitable. Trembling before Paul and Silas. I love what it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2. "For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word." That's the people that God is attracted to. Those who are walking in that poverty of spirit, that true humility, and tremble at the word of God. Again, look at the question, beloved, in verse 30. The jailer asked the most important question that any sinner could ever ask on earth. What must I do to be saved? To be saved from what? Eternal death, sin, and the punishment and the misery as a consequence of sin. What must I do to be saved? I believe Paul and Silas knew the gospel. Do you? It's amazing to me, not only the simplicity of what he said, but what he didn't say. Didn't lay some trip on them. You know what he said? Well, hold that thought. When Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood up on behalf of the apostles and the church, he preached the gospel. And in Acts 2:37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, so there is the necessity of a response to the grace of God. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.